We're talking with Matt Van Vuren this morning on Outpost Radio, and we've got a few questions to go through, but Matt, how in the world are you?
I'm pretty good. Good to be back in the States, loving this cold weather down here in Georgia. I tell you what, when we left home, it was every bit of 90-plus degrees, hot
wow.
and dry. So, yeah, the cold wow. weather doesn't bother me in one bit.
Well, good, good. Now, so where was, when you left, give me the general area of where you left to come back into the States.
Well, I live where my hometown is, where our main lodge is about 2 hours' drive south of Johannesburg in South Africa. It's a small town called Rates, population about 3,500 people. So, yeah, it was pretty hot when we left, and they reckon it's one of the wettest summers we've had also in the area in the last 10 years. So, mm-hmm. yeah, no, we enjoy the cold weather, no question about that.
And so you spend 6 months in South Africa and 6 months here, or how does that break down?
No, we spend just about 9-10 months in South Africa and then about two and a half months down here in the States for marketing purposes more than anything else.
Uh-huh. Are you still guiding at Burnt Pine?
I do a little bit of guiding when they need a guide. We still use Burnt Pine as a base to work out of. The owner and we on good standing foot. You know, I started out in 99. I started out working for him, amongst other things, with other outfitters that he was involved with in operation in South Africa. So we're still good friends, and it helps me and it helps them out. So, yeah, keep it on a good foot, you know.
Yeah, it's a great place. It's a lovely. If you've anybody who's listening, if you've never been or seen even you know the website of Burnt Pine and in Georgia, it is a gorgeous place. And this is where we originally met Matt and heard about his company, which is Lekulu Safaris. And I probably have butchered that again, Matt. But tell me what that name roughly translates to.
Well, it's a Zulu word for meaning big, or in Tswana it means 100%. Which we strongly believe in doing at Lekulu Safaris is give you 100% and help you shoot a big trophy, dream trophy animal.
Great. Well, now, where do you conduct your hunts? Is it all over South Africa? Is there a specific area, or where do you hunt?
We hunt mainly for the past few years. We've mainly hunted in South Africa, but this year we're expanding into Mozambique a little, and if all goes well, we'll do a few hunts down in Zimbabwe as well. But we hunt all over South Africa. We've got hunting areas in the Free State province, which is rolling grass hills, up to the northern parts in the Limpopo province, which is flat bush country, almost similar to Texas hill country type style, and mm-hmm. down in the Eastern Cape where it's more mountainous. It all depends on what the trophy animals are that the clients are after. But we've mm-hmm. got concessions all over South Africa, which makes it good. And South Africa is such an easy country to get in and out of. I mean, daily flights out of Atlanta, daily flights out of Washington. So it's a very easy country. You don't need visas or anything like that.
Oh, that's cool. That's good. Now, what kind of game? You said any kind of trophy that your hunters want to go after. Typically, what kind of game is hunted in that area?
Well, I mean, again, depending the area that you're at, you know, certain animals are grazers, certain animals are browsers. But, you know, in South Africa, we've got well over 50 huntable species. There's a bit more. There's more species, but they require a little bit more paperwork and permits, which we do on special request. That's not a problem. But with over 50 species and the diverse habitat and terrain that we have in South Africa, it's just, I mean, it's a beautiful country. It's just, and once you've been there, you'll always go back. Doesn't matter who you are, what you say, you'll always go back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it sounds gorgeous. Well, give me some typical kind of animals that people go after.
Well, I mean, first time safari people, you know, zebras on the top list, kudu, waterbuck, gemsbuck, blazebuck, impala, warthog is very popular if we can find them, but they don't get big by being stupid.
Mm-hmm.
Nyala, bushbuck, also very popular amongst the first time hunters. Second time, third time hunters, they start to concentrate a bit more on the more, I wouldn't say difficult, but probably more, but more expensive game animals like sable and roan, and well, then you get into big game, dangerous game hunting, buffalo, leopard, lion, hippo, elephant, that type of stuff. And again, we conduct hunts all over South Africa, and then also into Mozambique and Zimbabwe for more especially for the dangerous game than anything else.
Mm-hmm. Wow. We're speaking with Matt Van Vuren now about wild game hunting in Africa. And You know, what is it when someone books a safari with you, Matt? What does a typical day look like?
Well, a typical day will be a knock on the door before sunrise, and we'll all meet in the dining room or outside, where if it, depending on the temperature, and we'll have coffee and a light breakfast. You know, breakfast, toast, yogurt, cereal. And then from there, we'll discuss the plan for the day, what type of animals we're going to try and go for. Again, it's not a shopping mall, so people do have a priority or a wish list to say of what they would like to go for. But we'll get on the truck. We do a lot of the majority of the hunting that we do is spot and stalk, which is, I guess, the right way to do it anyhow, and we enjoy that. If we see something that we like, we'll, you know, you got to take the wind in consideration and all that, and then we'll try and stalk up to an animal, see if we can get a shot. Shots, they range anywhere from 50 yards to 300 plus yards, depending how comfortable the clients are. Typically, we try and get as close as we can, because rule of thumb in South Africa, or Southern Africa for that matter, is if you draw blood, you unfortunately got to pay for the animal. It's not like a lot of other places. You try and find it if you draw blood, but you don't have to pay it. But in South Africa, you have to. If you draw blood, you got to pay for it. And then, well, if we get, come right with the animal, again, it depends on how far we got to drive for the day. If we got to drive to a different concession area, we obviously will leave a little earlier. But if we've come right with a trophy animal, we'll prep the animal, get it cleaned out, and cut the grass and prep it up for a photo or two. And from there on, we move to the skinning shed, where the skinners will take care of it and get it skinned out as quickly as possible, get it in the salt. And if it's after lunch, then we'll go out again late in the afternoon for an afternoon into an evening hunt. If we didn't come right before lunch, again, depending if we're close enough to the lodge, we'll go back for a great meal. Otherwise, we'll just cook a meal out there in the field. I mean, it's an experience from the moment you leave your door here in the States until you get back. Everything in between is a life-changing experience.
Mm-hmm. You know, some people, as particularly misinformed people, feel the populations of animals in Africa are too low. Clearly, you wouldn't be hunting them if they were too low. But why is there such a misperception about that?
That, I think it's just because people believe if you shoot them, they don't have time to breed. But, you know, with the hunting industry in the late 60s, give or take plus or minus, there were 575,000 head of wild game countrywide. And during the 60s, when safari hunting and game ranching started taking off, game populations has risen to well over 19 million head of game, and that is 90% just due to hunting. So the misperception about animals being endangered, yes, there's animals in danger in South Africa, but or Southern Africa for that matter, but with the well-managed properties that we hunt, you only take off so many species. We try and take off only the non-breedable bulls or even some of the old females that cannot breed anymore. That's the type of animals that we try and take off. It basically comes down, same as here in the States, when you shoot a whitetail, you don't want to shoot a 2.5-year-old buck. You want to shoot as old as possible the non-breeding animals because, I mean, the moment you do that, you open up that specific bull or ram or male, his group of females, for new males to come and compete over that. And a lot of the times what will happen, two males will fight over that herd, and the herd will split up. So you got new genes, and the population is healthy and growing, and that's what, at the end of the day, that's what you want.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I know we talked offline a little bit about this, and anybody who's listening to this interview has heard about the Dallas Safari Club holding their auction for the rights to hunt a black rhino in Namibia, but the premise is that the animal was too old to procreate, and the funds from that auction, which turned out to be $350,000, was to go, or is to go, to the preservation of the other endangered black rhinos. I don't understand exactly. I kind of understand what the hue and cry is about this, although it is, as you just described, an older animal. It's not going to be procreating. Is this a good idea, the way the country has handled this, where they had kind of a lottery? Is that a good idea, or is there a better way? Is there a better way to thin the herd?
No, I think what they did is a very good way. I mean, they created awareness more than anything for the black rhino. I mean, I think the black rhino as an animal hasn't been in the news this much as the last 10 days to 2 weeks since this came up. And therefore, that will, you know, there will be more attention will be given to this animal. The money that was raised by the auction, I mean, I'm 100% sure that everything that was raised will go back into the safekeeping of black rhinos, you know, new breeding blind breeding bulls, gear for anti-poaching units, educating young people about it. So, no, I think it was a very good thing what they did. You know, and again, it comes back to hunting. If it wasn't for hunting, animals like your black rhino, your bonte buck, sable, animals like that in southern Africa would have been extinct by now. But with the good management on the game ranches and all that, between South Africa and Namibia, we get 10 CITES permits per year to hunt black rhino, 5 in Namibia and 5 in South Africa. So, yeah, what they did was very good. I think they made more money. I wouldn't say they made more money, but more money was raised for the fight against poaching and rhinos as a whole. So, yeah, mm-hmm. No, I agree with it 100%.
Well, this is probably going to shake out differently, I think, once people have time to think about it. But, you know, once in a while, people, particularly people that don't hunt or people that are not of that culture, I think they sometimes miss the subtlety of the whole thing. There's a new law that was just signed a couple of days ago for some exotic animals that were actually going great guns when they were not being regulated, and when they started regulating, the price, you know, and it was not efficient or was not economical for ranchers to keep the population going. And now that the scientists have said, look, you need to get out of that, you know, managing those. There were three kind of antelope, and they're called the three amigos that we're going to mm-hmm. be doing a story on in the next issue of the magazine. So it's food for thought anyway. Is there any kind of animal in Africa that you don't hunt for any reason?
Well, I mean, there's certain animals like you're familiar with the aardvark or the ant bear. I mean, it looks like a character out of a cartoon movie, so just uh-huh. just don't want to hunt that. And there's certain animals, brown hyena, which we can't get permits for, although, I mean, everything has got a bypass by it. I mean, there's a lot of museums in the world, and you can get permits for that. But certain animals we just don't care to hunt for, like the odd wolf, which looks like a little hyena, but it just eats bugs and stuff like that. But, yeah, again, if it wasn't for hunting, a lot of animals would have been extinct by now. And yeah. The moment you put a value on an animal, everybody supposedly takes better care of that species.
Yep. We're speaking with Matt Van Buren, and his company does incredible safaris in Africa. And I know the people that are listening and the people that will be reading the article about this are wondering, what kinds of guns are used in your hunts? Is it dependent on the game, or is there a type of rifle that's used more often than not, but what kind of guns do you use?
Well, as we always tell people, you know, bring your rifle, because it's so easy to begin with to bring your own rifle into South Africa. A little bit of paperwork, which we send you ahead of time and help you through the whole process. But we always tell people, bring the rifle that you feel most comfortable with, the one that you have been hunting for as long as you can know. That is the best rifle, because at the end of the day, it's all about shot placement and how comfortable you feel with the rifle. But as far as popular calibers go, you know, a 270, a 7mm, a 30-06, 308, or 300 for your small to medium or even large size animals up to an eland is perfect. And then when you move on to like your dangerous game, buffalo, hippo, elephant, your thick skin animals, by law, you are required to shoot them with no smaller than a 375 caliber. So the 375 or the 375 H&H and the 416 Rigby and Remington are very, very popular dangerous game animals. Mm-hmm. But again, you know, we also try and have the guys, you guys in the States are very used to shooting animals behind the shoulder, whereas South African game or African game, the vitals is a little bit more forward in the body. And we like to have guys try and shoot the game on the shoulder, because your margin of error is just is just a bit bigger. If you move up a little left or right or down, you're still in that vital circle, whereas if you take a shot behind the shoulder, your margin of error gets smaller. I mean, you move 2 inches to the right or 3 inches to the right, then you have a gut shot, and then you sit with a problem because then you got a wounded animal. And as we said earlier, if you wound an animal in South Africa or in Africa, you have to pay for it. And then also the suffering the animal goes through. And with all the greenies out there that do not like hunting, we try and do it as humanely as possible. So we got to get the animal down, and that can take anywhere from an hour. We have tracked animals for 2 to 3 days. So you want to make sure that your shot placement is right, and yeah, good caliber selection is good, but yeah, the better the shot placement, the better the outcome of the hunt will be.
Mm-hmm. You've tracked an animal for 2 days?
Yeah, it was a blue wildebeest. Again, the guy shot, luckily the guy shot, center of the shoulder, but too high, so he just nicked the lungs, but just the top of the lungs. And it was over 2 days. We tracked it till the end of the day, marked it. Luckily we were finding blood, but as long as there's blood, we have a good chance of finding it. There's unbelievable trackers out in Africa, and a lot of the guys use tracking dogs nowadays, but as long as there's blood, we can find them. So shot placement is very critical.
Wow. Well, I tracked a white-tailed deer for a couple of hours one afternoon. I thought I was going to die. I can't imagine 2 days.
It happens. I had we had clients once, and it was the son's first time out in South Africa. And again, a blue wildebeest shot it, and the shot was too high, and that was caught after 7 a.m. And we tracked it, and we finally put it down at 4:30 that afternoon. But the kid told it, he called it the death hike, because where we shot it and where we finally shot it, there was over 1,200 foot difference in elevation.
Mm.
And if your shot is not right, African animals do not want to die. Their tenacity to life is incredible. And I mean, everything predates on everything in Africa, so nothing wants to die.
Yep.
Nothing. They fight for every bit that they have to stay alive and keep going. I mean, I've seen it where guys shoot a gemsbok at 200 yards with a 270. The shot was a little bit backwards. The gemsbok just lifted his head, looked around what's going on, and kept on feeding. You know, so
wow.
Yeah. If you don't hit them right, you might have some issues.
Wow. Well, now, what is your favorite game to hunt, Matt?
I love hunting waterbuck as far as plains game. Well, I've got a bit of a soft spot for them. When I started out hunting professionally in about 1999, we had a group of guys up in the Limpopo province, and it was getting to that time of day where should we not, and we saw a really good waterbuck bull. And I don't know if you're familiar, but they got a round circle on their butt, and they basically that was all we saw. And I told the guy, well, just go for the good old Texas hard shot. Needless to say, he made an awesome shot on it, but he missed the hard part of it. And as the water buck took off, the force of the bullet and the impact as he took off, it broke his back. And as we came around the bush, the water buck charged us. And in that sense of the word, he wasn't very happy with us. And the client had such a fright, he dropped his rifle and ran off. And well,
man,
we had a good laugh afterwards, but at the time, it wasn't that funny, and I have a soft spot, as you say, for a waterbuck.
Yeah, that doesn't sound funny at all. That's like being chased by a bear or something.
But and as far as dangerous game go, I love buffalo hunting. I think buffalo hunting is exciting. It's adrenaline packed from the moment you go out. I mean, we PHs, everybody likes to have a good time, so there's always joking going about and everybody having a good time. But the moment you step off and you start hunting for buffalo, it's like you flip a switch. Everybody gets serious and everybody's, I mean, it might be 35 degrees, but everybody is sweating like it's 100 degrees because of adrenaline and the seriousness about what you're about to do. I mean, it's a different story hunting a plains game animal compared to hunting something that can and will kill you if it gets the opportunity. But buffalo hunting, I love buffalo hunting. makes you feel alive, makes you appreciate being above ground.
Yeah, that's great. That sounds like so much fun. This whole
it
thing
is.
Sounds
it,
like so much fun.
It is. It's difficult to explain to people. You have to experience it yourself, not just buffalo hunting, but experience Africa. It truly is a life-changing experience. Not just hunting, but the country and the whole, the people, the way we live, the animals. To go to a Kruger National Park, for example, and there's a big old elephant bull standing 10 yards from your vehicle, and you can take pictures of them. It's just something about it.
Yep. So how does someone get involved in one of your hunts, Matt?
Well, they can visit our website, www.lekulusafaris.com. We have several packages on there, and all my contact details are there, and that'll give them a little bit more info. Or they can email me at info@lekulusafaris.com, and we try and respond to emails within 24 hours. And while I'm in the States here, we fly home March the 27th. So my U.S. cell number is 678-332-7286, and they're more than welcome to contact me any time of the day, and we'll give as much information as we can.
Mm-hmm. Now, is there any time of year? Do you do this? I know you're in the States part of the time, but is there any kind of time that you don't hunt in Africa?
We don't hunt really in the midsummer time, so usually from about end of November until end of February, maybe towards the end of March. It's not that we can't, it's just it gets hot and you got to deal with the afternoon to evening thunder showers and all that. But by law, we can hunt 365 days out of the year in South Africa. And again, we are seeing that we can, if you can only come in January, then we'll set it up for you in such a way that if that's the only time you have, then it's not a problem. All the only thing you got to deal with is green, and you might have an afternoon or evening shower, and temperatures might be anywhere from 70 to 120 degrees. just depends where we're hunting and what we're hunting.
Yeah, 120 degrees sounds a little bit hot for me.
Well, it is, but I mean, then again, we adapt and we start hunting very early in the morning, but usually by 10 o'clock in the morning, you're done. You try and find a shady spot or a place where you can relax and view game, and we go at it again late in the afternoon. So, yeah, I mean, there's ways you can come around that as well.
Yeah, that sounds like so much fun. We've been talking with Matt Van Vuren, and I'll spell Lekulu Safaris for you. It's Lekulu Safaris, and you can get information by his website, info, or just email him, info@lekulusafaris.com, and we'll make this information available on the Outpost Radio as well as in the magazine. And this has been a treat, Matt. You're an interesting and you're also, I've actually worked or had the pleasure of following Matt around a quail field in Georgia, and he is a funny guy when it comes to hunting, but he knows what he's doing, so it's a pleasure to have you.
Well, I appreciate it very much, and looking forward to doing another quail hunt with you in the not-too-distant future, or maybe even a bird hunt or a big game hunt up in Africa.
Well, I think I'm on. I need to take some time off, and we'll just go do that sometime.
That's it. All you need to do is jump in a plane, let me know, and we'll pick you up, and we'll take it from there.
All right. Thank you so much, Matt. Good luck.
Appreciate it. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Man, you're good at this, Matt. That was great.
Thank you.